iHeart communities, thank you so much for listening. As we are headed towards the holidays and a new year, there are some things we want to remind you of, and that is be extra kind to the people we love in our lives. And to help us do that and to remind us that loneliness is real and it could lead to some real problems, welcome from Pro Health Physicians, Joanne Foss. It's so great to have you here today. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Now, Joanne, to my knowledge, you are a case manager and you're also a nurse with ProHealth Physicians. What does that mean for you? And what does that mean for your daily duties and jobs and how you interact with people and patients?
Sure. So as a nurse case manager, I receive communications from our providers requesting that I reach out to patients who are in need, either because they have some difficulties controlling medical or health conditions, or they're having difficulties with transportation, housing, finances, whatever the need may be. Many times, especially on the heels or involvement still with this pandemic, it's because the person really needs a go-to or somebody to check in with. Isolation, loneliness are big factors amongst our elderly, and sometimes my job is really just to reach out to them to avoid a major depressive episode that the person may have a propensity toward. So I may reach out to a patient. For instance, I, you know, have a patient that has a history of depression who experienced a breakup with a long-term partner, and my goal was to check in with that person weekly and give them a sense of purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also, you know, you just mentioned about seniors and isolations, which is really the point of this conversation, right? Today, we're going to talk about seniors at risk for isolation and what can we do to help prevent that? Because I'm reading some of these statistics that are absolutely upsetting, because it says that social isolation is associated with about 50% increased risk of dementia. There's depression, there's anxiety, suicide, there's not to mention heart disease. I mean, you wouldn't think that loneliness could lead to all of that, but really just proving that stressors in our lives can really affect us in a real physical and medical way.
Absolutely. So social isolation is a huge problem for our elder before the pandemic. You can, you know, triple the impact or even beyond since the impact. Some of the things that I like to do is really understand the person and find out what they used to be good at or what they enjoy. Is there a way to engage them in activities of meaning that they had in the past? Can they learn something new? Can they engage in some volunteer activities? How do they stay connected with their friends? Can I help them with social media and or teaching them how to use it? A pet, that's a great option for people.
Yeah, and you know, with the pandemic, and especially with our seniors, if they lost a loved one, or if one of their pets, you know, unfortunately have passed, and then with the extra layer of isolation that people weren't able to go and visit their loved ones. I mean, were you really working overtime during that to make sure your patients and the people that you help were, you know, feeling included? And just even a simple phone call, did you find that you were working overtime to make sure that these people knew they weren't alone?
I probably was, because I may have been the only source of social interaction that they had. These people who lived in facilities could no longer, and when I say facility, I mean an assisted living, for instance, where they were not going to the dining room for their meals because they couldn't. They had to stay in their apartments because of the isolation procedures and the infection control measures. So I was that source. Or other case managers like me, you know, were the ones making the calls to the elderly to keep them from, you know, falling off the edge or experiencing social isolation beyond, because sometimes that's all we can do. The senior centers weren't offering the activities that they used to. The facilities or the assisted livings weren't doing what they used to. So, yes.
Yeah.
It was working overtime.
Everyone certainly was. And you know, obviously through no fault of anyone, you know, it just an unfortunate reality of what's going on in the world today. And hopefully, you know, with some of these new variants, we don't have to go back to that. But it is a little daunting and a little frightening. So what can we do as children, grandchildren, friends, guardians of senior friends or senior people, even in our community, if we have a neighbor on the street or something like that, what do you recommend? Like, what can we do to help?
Make a call, step out, you know, try to just see if you can interact with the person even, you know, distantly. And so I say make a call first, find out where that person's at, what have they been up to, what haven't they been able to do, what are their needs. You know, this tasks all of us even greater as we are all working full-time and managing families. But at the same time, there's a huge need to avoid social isolation for these elder loved ones that we have. By listening to them and really understanding what's going on with them, if you feel that, you know, your radar is up, that something's wrong, make a call to the provider. See if their provider can assist in some way with connecting them to avoid that social isolation.
And maybe if, you know, if they're strong in their faith, maybe a faith-based
Absolutely.
Organization
yeah.
could help. And, you know, prior to us recording our conversation today for our iHeart Communities program, we were kind of chit-chatting about this. And you mentioned something really important to me and something that I had to learn being a caregiver to my grandmother who had Alzheimer's. But patience. Patience is so important when you're dealing with someone who is a senior who may already be, you know, in the early stages of dementia or maybe just aging, because our brains change. And I learned that from you, and you were telling me about that. So exactly how important is patience? And could you sort of repeat what we were chatting about before we begin our conversation today?
Sure. I give the example many times of the elder person who is losing their vision, is losing their hearing, can't walk the way they used to. They've had to give up driving. They can no longer bathe and dress themselves the way they used to. So they're compromised on many levels. They need that loved one. You know, many times it's a child. Many times it's not. It doesn't have to be a child, of course. But their loved one that they rely on is their lifeline, essentially. And if that person is in a busy spot in their life and doesn't have time for all of these challenges that loved one now has, you put up that walls are created between the loved one and the person that is their lifeline. So it's hard for us as caregivers, of course, and it's challenging. But if we approach it that everyone's going to age at some point, and thinking about patience and, you know, love and connections as best we can, that sometimes makes it easier to understand where they're at in their world. They're different than they used to be, and someday we're all going to be different. But trying to get to, you know, to continue that relationship is what's most important.
Absolutely. And as you put it, I mean, we're all going to get old, and just think of how you would want to be treated or,
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you want the best care for everybody in our world, and everybody, you know, that is listening right now has it within their power to reach out to somebody in their community or find out maybe the way they could volunteer. I mean, at ProHealth Physicians, it sounds like you have some great programs and you have a great template in place. And it sounds like, you know, you're a navigator in a way.
Exactly.
You join, you know, you're trying to make sure people get the help they need and figure out a way to keep people from feeling lonely and to have those horrible feelings of depression or whatever the case may come as a result of their loneliness. But, you know, are there programs set up within, you know, doctors, or is that something that you would talk to a doctor about for loneliness? I mean, would that be a therapist, or would they go to a nurse, or could they call a ProHealth today and say, okay, we heard this interview and we think, you know, someone in our family might be experiencing this. What can we do?
Sure. The first step really is, you know, as a case manager, that could be the first step, you know, access case management, because we are navigators and we are going to find and know about the resources. So I have a particular patient that lives in a particular town. I'm going to find out every resource available to that person in the town. I then have to tailor it to their needs. Like, as I may have mentioned before, if the person's introverted, you know, a senior center event isn't going to work. Okay, but maybe a pet therapist who will come to the house now that some of the COVID restrictions are lifted might be exactly what that patient needs. So a case manager is a very good resource, And at ProHealth, that's certainly something that we offer to start down the road of how can we keep this person socially engaged.
You can visit ProHealthMD.com for more information, to find a location, find a doctor, a walk-in, to get more information about case managers, if you've been touched by anything that we are saying here today. Or at the end of the day, just as Joanne has put, simply picking up the phone or finding out who in your community could use a little extra whatever. Maybe it's, you know, flowers left at the doorstep, or maybe it's, can I pick up groceries for you? Or as you were saying, I mean, I don't want to break it down to make it seem so simple, but from what I'm hearing from you, it could really be as simple as a phone call, right?
Absolutely. It can be simple. That's the thing that people don't understand. It feels overwhelming for them to put one more thing into their busy lives. But you know what? Picking up the phone and making a quick phone call is all that's needed many times. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even on the street that you live on, standing at the end of the driveway and waving, or, you know, just doing something silly. Sometimes silly is fun for everybody, right? So, yeah, this is all great advice. I'm going to have more information about this, too, up online at mycommunityaccess.com. But senior isolation, especially as we head towards, you know, the new year, the holidays can be very hard on people for many different reasons, especially if you're a senior and you're now finding yourself alone for the first time, which could be the case for a lot of us listening right now. You know, let's just be a little extra nicer to one another. And I do very much appreciate your time today and talking about this subject matter, because sometimes it's not easy to hear and understand, right?
Oh, it's really important, and I appreciate the opportunity.
So, Joanne Foss, I appreciate you, case manager with ProHealth Physicians, a wonderful nurse, and also you can find out more at ProHealthMD.com.